Are you ready to embark on an adventure through the world of words? Join us on the Reading Revolution and let's explore the exciting world of literacy together.
Hi, and welcome to the Reading Revolution powered by bookvending.com. I am your host, Josh Gregory. We've got a great guest coming up today. Very exciting and a very unique story about Inchy Bookworm book vending machines, something that's only happening one place in the country. Joining me today is Jane Wolfe, co-owner of Melba's Po' Boys, two locations in the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana. There is a unique reading program going on in this restaurant, Eat and Read at Melba's. We're going to delve into that today. To date, over 20,000 books have been distributed to customers who have entered this restaurant. Very, very unique. It's also attracted the attention of authors who participate in book signings and other presentations that they do through the restaurant, including Matthew McConaughey, the Clintons, and much more. So we've got a lot to talk about today. Jane Wolfe, as I said, is my guest, a recent recipient of the Louisiana Endowment for Humanities and the State of Louisiana Center for the Book Light Up for Literacy Award, which recognizes those who have made significant contributions to literacy efforts. And, oh, yeah, she's a Harvard grad as well. So we're going to touch on that today. Jane, thank you so much for taking time out to be with us here on the Reading Revolution.
Yes, I just want to make sure that you understand that I'm a Harvard Divinity grad and not a Harvard grad. That's a difference.
Close enough.
Yeah, I went to Divinity School. So,
well, we can talk about that as well, because you did that a little bit later in life. And I think that's unique, something unique to talk about as well. So let's talk a little bit about Melba's Po' Boys. How did the restaurant start? Can you give us a little history of the restaurant?
Restaurant came about after Hurricane Katrina. We were in the grocery business for 35 years in the city of New Orleans. And the restaurant came about after Hurricane Katrina. There was a piece of property that my husband recognized. And he said, "What do you think about a Po' Boy shop here?" And I said, "Wow, that'll do great." And it was as simple as that. And it was while I was in school getting my Harvard Divinity degree. And my husband actually needed seemingly something to do while I was studying. And he built this while I was studying. So that's how it came about. And it was at a beautiful location, 2 minutes from the French Quarter, about 25,000 cars pass it a day. It's a beautiful intersection. In the 7th, 8th, and upper 9th ward. So it's a location that many people pass every day. And it's inside of a book desert. So so you can imagine how a restaurant became something in regard to literacy, because actually the area is considered a book desert.
So when this will transition into that, when you decided to bring in some literacy programs to the restaurant, was that a passion of yours and your husband's before, of just, you know, hey, this is a book desert, we love reading? How did this come about?
Absolutely, it wasn't. How did it come about? Well, it took 43 years to come about, because things that blossom well take a lot of time to fertilize. And that's all I can say, is that the reading came about in the restaurant, which is Melba's, and we have a laundromat attached to the restaurant. And we had the Laundromat Association coming through town to attend a laundromat convention. And they contacted us because they knew the laundromat was very busy. So it's a restaurant slash laundromat slash daiquiri shop. And when the laundromat convention came through town, they were putting little reading nooks inside of the laundromats. So they asked us, "Will you spend $1,500 on a table and a bookshelf?" And then they would mail me books once a month for kids. And I'll always remember, my husband took the paper from the laundromat people and gave it to me and said, "You'd like to do this?" And I said, "Yeah, I would like to do that." So that's how it initially came about. Starting inside the laundromat for children to have a reading nook. And that's exactly how it started.
And that's actually a unique take on things, because I think many of us, or probably all of us at one point in time, have been in a laundromat where they might have an area for kids, but usually it's full of toys and maybe a TV. What a unique spin on it to actually have books and something productive that they can do while, you know, the folks or whoever is watching them is actually getting some laundry done. Very unique take.
Yeah, actually, I made it like a little classroom. The area looks like a little schoolroom. And all the kids go in there and play school. I used to play school when I was a child. And that's actually what happened. And we made it so pretty and so beautiful that the Clintons, Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea, who are associated with the Laundromat Association in regard to their foundation, Too Small to Fail, found out how good it was. And when they came through town, they made a point to come see it.
And what was that like? I'm sure that had to have been a ton of planning. And I mean, that's not like, you know, somebody up the street who works on the city council stopping by.
Right. No, actually, it wasn't a lot of planning. Actually, they told me about 3 days before that, yes, they coming. So they were coming through town. Chelsea and Hillary were doing a book talk in regard to their latest book called Gutsy Women. And they were uptown at a church or something giving a talk. So I contacted somebody through the Laundromat Association and through the Clintons. And I said, hey, why don't y'all pass by the laundromat? And they said, we'll let you know. And 3 days before they arrived, they said, okay, we're going to come. And they said, Chelsea and Hillary are coming. And then, so we're getting all ready, just like you get ready for a party, right? And then all of a sudden, about 20 minutes before they arrived, they said, oh, Bill's there too. And we said, wow, we got the whole first family. So they were really impressed with the reading initiative inside the laundromat, because all our machines of the laundromat have stickers on it. And it's Twitter style history of people that have been born in Louisiana and are leaders inside of the culture or inside of literacy. So the laundromat really impressed them, other than just the reading nook. It was really a beautiful day. We all had fun.
So let's talk a little bit about how you've came to find Inchi, the Bookworm book vending machines, which here we are at Global Vending, you know, making, designing these things. How did that partnership come up?
Well, that partnership came up because after we started doing the kids' literacy inside the laundromat, it moved into the Melba's restaurant. And how it happened in Melba's restaurant, I was in school. I'm getting to the book machine too. How it blossoms, right? It's fertilizer.
Like, sure.
Just don't think these things up in one day. So I was in school and my graduate advisor, his name was Jonathan Walton. He had published a book and I was in his office talking about my paper. And he had a bunch of books in a corner of his office. And it was like, I don't know, it looked like 40 boxes. And I said, what's that, Jonathan? You know, I was able to call him Jonathan because I'm an older student. And he says, I just published a book, Jane. I said, wow, you published a book. And he said, yeah. I said, how are you going to sell those books, Jonathan? He says, I have no idea. So he is a high academic at Harvard Divinity School, just publishing a book. And I'm thinking back home, how to teach what I'm learning here and bring it back home. I constantly had that on my mind. So I remember looking at the books and I turned to him and I said, well, how about this, Jonathan? Why don't you come down to Melba's? I'll purchase 100 books and we'll give them out for free. So he came down with him and his family. And they spent the day, they spent 3 or 4 days in New Orleans, and they came to Melba's, and it was a beautiful moment of us giving out the books, the first book, and having people have an encounter with a Harvard professor right there in the middle of New Orleans. So all of a sudden, we start giving out books every other week with authors coming. The authors always have to come and give out their books.
That's awesome.
It becomes a like a book haven so people can buy books. So I was hitting the kids in the laundromat. I was hitting the adults inside of Melba's. But I found that people that would come visit Melba's would not all the time walk into the laundromat, even though it's connected. So I got the kids and I was like, how can I hit the kids inside of Melba's? Right? The adults were getting the books. And then I came across y'all vending machine. And I came across y'all vending machine probably 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know exactly where I saw it, but I saw it online in some way. And I kept on for 3 or 4 years dreaming of putting a vending machine in Melba's. Because we've been doing this project for 3 or 4 years. But every time I told my husband I wanted to do the book vending machine, he's like, that's crazy. You don't need a book vending machine. You're giving away enough books. You're giving books here. You're giving books in the laundromat. He was dead set against it. So actually, he kept me not purchasing it for 2 years. And he's a lovely man, but he thinks at the bottom line. I'm not saying he's not a lovely man. So one day I just said, Scott, I'm getting this book machine. Just we getting it. And I said, I don't need a Christmas present no more. I don't need a Mother's Day present. I don't need nothing. I'm getting a book machine. And that's how the book machine came about. Because what I wanted to do, when people walked into the restaurant, I want to give the children a free book. And it's an experience. It's not just handing them a book, right? So they go up to the register at Melba's, and the parents know that when they come into Melba's, they ask for a token and they get a free book. And it's a beautiful moment to watch that interaction happen. It's been one of the best things I've done, because when people walk in Melba's, they see a book machine and it really shocks them. It surprises them because they've never seen it before. So it's really been a good thing, and it has enhanced our literacy project over there in New Orleans for sure.
And again, what a unique interaction, as you mentioned, and what a unique yes. way to get kids interested in reading, that this is a book that they're going to be able to take home. And yes. there's plenty of restaurants that have tchotchkes, and you know, they might get a token for a sticker or something like that. This is something that could possibly, you know, change their life, where they're saying, you know, now I've got a book, I'm inspired to read even more and right. come back to the restaurant.
There's no doubt about it. And I also see that the kids are, when they get the book, they're reading it at the restaurant. You know, they open it up and they're looking at it. And we change the books every about every 3 weeks. We change all the books. And it's really been a joy to watch the joy that happens in the book exchange. And the parents of the children are just as excited, because like I said, people don't see this every day, right? So it's a beautiful surprise. And in life, we don't get enough surprises. And this is a good surprise that people have when they walk in Melba's.
And you also are doing weekly book signings, and authors are still coming into the restaurant. If we could talk a little bit about that attraction as well, that it's not just giving out the books, it's people seeing the people who are writing these books and interacting with them.
Wait, what did you say? It's not just what?
It's not just, you know, getting this book. It's also seeing the people who are writing the books, yes. who are producing these sorts of things, and having the chance to interact with an author is kind of a unique experience on its own.
Very unique. So imagine walking into a popular restaurant and all of a sudden you see, Eddie Glaude Jr. sitting there. And he's got his book, or you have Walter Isaacson, or you have Sarah Broom, or you have a national award-winning writers that are just sitting there very casually, and you got 100 books stacked up, and you walk in and you're just not expecting it, right? So 50% of our customers are expecting it, but 50% of our customers are tourists. You know, New Orleans is one of the most visited places in the world. So when people come in and they see an author sitting there and they wanted a lucky 100 people to get the book, it's really, like I said, it's a beautiful encounter. A lot of people say, we go into a Melba's event. I say, it's not a Melba's event. Event is the old tired name. It's an encounter. So they have an encounter with an author at a very casual level. And they get to exchange email addresses, they exchange texts, they get to talk to the author. So It's really a nice, what I call it is, we call it in New Orleans, lanyap. We have literacy lanyap, and it's a word, lanyap, which means a little extra. So when you walk into our restaurant, you have an opportunity to get a book once a week. If you come eat at a certain time and you get some lanyap and you get an encounter with an author that I would say that 80% of people that meet the author have never met an author before in their life. So it's all a good thing.
So what's the reaction been from the community, not just the folks who are coming in and taking advantage of the program, but you know, we're talking, you know, city leaders. What have they thought about this very unique program that you've got at Melba's?
I haven't heard anything. I have never heard a negative word about it. It's almost like, what have I heard? I've heard nothing but good stuff. And when I say good stuff, you can see when people come in, and I talk to people sometimes that have a business somewhere else, or teachers and librarians are always coming in. And when you can have a teacher or a librarian come into a restaurant that's excited about education, that's a great day, right? So when people come in, I can't always read eyes, but eyes are a beautiful thing to see. And when you see people come in and they are thinking, and I ask them, what you think of this, you know? And they say, I wonder how I can do this at home. Or I know somebody that has a restaurant. This would be great in their restaurant. Or I have somebody that owns, I know somebody that owns a coffee shop. We wish we could do this in a coffee shop. So the whole element of what's going on there, the literacy that's happening all over, of which Jenna Bush has already said on a Today Show, fire is going on there at Melba's. Literacy like fire is going on. So the community and the leaders of the community, I can see in their eyes, and they've also told me, this is really good that a business can engage with the community like this.
Yeah, so it's an extension and another level of education where we send our kids to school and we try to do the best as we can as parents. But when they're seeing this in everyday facets of other parts of their life, it just reinforces that desire to learn more, to read more. What a great gift.
Yes. And let me tell you what else it really does. And what I've noticed by watching people, right? Because I've been in the retail world my entire life. When the people are waiting for their food, they got to wait like 7 minutes for their food. And they order right by the register, but excuse me. But when they waiting for their food, they turn around and they see this bookcase. We call it the Golden Literacy Bookcase. And the bookcase is full of books of only the people that have visited Melba's. So the only way you can get your book in this case is if you visited Melba's and you gave away 100 books. And what I see forming is a habit. The habit of reading is forming, because while they're waiting for their book, they turn around and they're seeing nothing but books. So biologically, I believe that the notion of reading is getting into people in ways that they don't even realize. So when they come to Melba's, and they come to Melba's on a regular basis, it's one of those favorite restaurants, you are getting hit with books in your face. And I know it's working. I see it working. And it's really good.
How many guest authors do you suppose that you've had come into the restaurant over the years?
We've been doing this 4 years, and I've had over 170 authors came to Melba's personally. Well, we do about 30% virtual, mm-hmm. and we got into the virtual aspect of seeing the author, of having the author come during COVID. Right. So probably 30% of our authors are virtual, but it's still a face-to-face encounter, because we set up this TV screen right smack in the middle of the restaurant, and everybody gets to go talk to them face-to-face, and they could sit and talk to them as long as they want, just like me and you are talking. And, but we had 170 authors, and, we mainly deal with nonfiction, and children's and poetry. We really don't deal with many what I would describe as escapism books, or these, you know, these I'm not saying anything bad about escapism books, but our books are there to teach something. And it's a voice. It's not a bookstore. It's a voice. Like the Golden Literacy case is a voice from the people who came there. And probably about 20% of our authors have been in the religious and spiritual realm, which is a beautiful thing, you know, in regard to just learning about your fellow neighbor with religion, and learn about different religions. So we've had one of the biggest authors in religion. His name is Stephen Propro, and he runs the religious department over there at Boston College. And we've had a lot of big time religious authors, Sister Helen Prejean. We've had Sister Joan Sidister. We've had a lot of religious authors.
And obviously it's striking a chord with the amount of books that you've distributed and the folks that are stopping by. It's not just coming up with, oh, this is a neat theme that we can go with for a week. This seems to be a pattern that is really feeding a need for the reading that people want to be doing, getting the books for and taking them home and reading them.
Absolutely. It's I see lifelong learning going on with this initiative. So this is a literacy project of what I call a restaurant literacy project for everyday people. And what it's doing is it's helping lifelong learners continue to learn, even though they do not have time to go to a book discussion or go to, you know, the university and listen to a discussion. Or so we're not a bookstore. We are a restaurant that engages with people on a day-to-day basis. And the community has been very positive about it.
And I love how you talk about the organicness of all this, if that's even a word, but and being able to adapt and overcome. COVID was a tough time for everyone, but you found a way to keep the program going by doing it virtually. Again, speaking to the passion that you're bringing to this, it's not just coming and getting a book and having something to eat. There's an experience there, or as you said, an encounter.
Yes, it's an encounter. And also, like I said, we're not just giving out free, because somebody once told me, well, what's so great about giving out just books? And I said, it's an encounter. And what's so beautiful, to show you how much of the depth of the encounter that's going on here, when the author comes to give out the books, okay, we might give out 50 books in that hour, right? We don't give out all the books in that 1 hour that the author's there. So we put the books behind the counter after the author leaves. We also engage with the staff in a very unique way, if you want to talk about that. But the cashier or the person that's running the register has about 50 books left to give out during the day. And we put a book on the counter after the author leaves, and we put a little sign on the book that says, free, just ask. So you have to ask for the book. It's not that you come in, you make a purchase, and we give you a book. So a lot of people that know they can't make the hour that the particular author's there, they know we have books to about, 3-4 o'clock. But you have to come in and ask. And just right there shows the intent of the reader, right? They want to read. They want to get the book. But you have to ask for the book. So
I do want to inquire about the staff. But before we get to that, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the authors. When they do come in, what are they expecting and what do they walk away from when their encounter is over? What do they tell you?
What they tell me? They tell me it's the best book event of their life. They use the word event, but Sarah Broom told me, she's a national award winner, writer. She wrote The Yellow House, and she's a New Orleanian. And I just spoke to her last week, actually. And she says, Jane, I'm telling you. She says, when I did this event 4 years ago, it was the best book event in my whole life. And that's what I hear, Joshua. It's the best book time in their whole life. And I'm telling you that at least 99% of people say that. And I don't ask them to say it. They just say it. Because they get to talk to people casually. A lot of writers are in a room by themselves trying to come up with the next beautiful word or beautiful sentence. And to have the writers be able to come out and share their book with people that are not expecting to get the book, it's just a fun hour for them. And they fly down here to come to the event. They drive here to come do the hour. And we are booked out till August. Wow. So we will in January. I'm telling people more no's now than yeses. We just don't have the time slots, right? We can't do this every day. We do it just once a week. And yeah, we booked out till August, actually.
That's incredible. And what a great testament to the program overall that, hey, August, not bad scheduling that many weeks that far all the way into the summer. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So how does the staff interact and what is their attitude towards the program as well? Obviously, they've got a job to do with the restaurant, but how do they come into play?
It's a beautiful thing because it really happened for the staff, right? So when I was in school, I always thought about how to bring the knowledge that I'm getting and have the blessing to get to bring it back home. Because when I say us in retail, because I've been in a retail environment my whole life, we don't have time to go to these book discussions. But when I was in school, I was getting all these discussions. So when the author comes, we make sure that we do an introduction to the author, right? To the staff. All the staff comes around. And we say, look who's here, y'all. And we tell them all about the author. And everybody takes, within the hour, the staff comes out and they go meet the author. You know, they get the book. And then after the event, the encounter's over, the author goes behind the counter. We take a picture with the author. But what's so fun is we always tell the author, the staff plays a word game. It's called the word search game. So we always ask the author, pick a word in the book that we get to search. And we have to find the word 20 times. And if we find the word 20 times, the staff gets a stipend or they get $50. So it's $2.50 a word. And the staff that does that, that engages with the book and offers proof that they engage with the book, they get $50. So it's almost like a $50 tip, right? When the author comes. So number one, they love the authors coming on the day because it's author day. And then they get to play the word search game. And it's working so well. It's unbelievable, really.
It sounds like it's a machine at this point, especially, you know, with the staff being on board, the community loves it. You're booked out with these authors coming in all the way till August. Quite a well-oiled machine you've got going on at Melba's.
I'm trying to hold on, Joshua. I wish I was 30 years old instead of 59 years old, but that's okay. That's not too old, right? But yeah, we drive in this car, so to speak. And I do see this in other restaurants across America. One thing I see this going, we did a special thing with the New Orleans Saints. So the dream is to put this at one restaurant in every state in the United States. So 50 of these we see. But I also see ways the NFL can engage. So we did a fun thing during the Saints season. And the fun thing was, if the Saints win, you bring in a old book to Melba's restaurant, and we'll give you a new book from our case. And not only that, if the Saints win, you get a free turkey leg with it. So we did this season, and so many people came in and they brought an old book, they got a new book at our case, and they got to walk out with a turkey leg that feeds two people. So I foresee this possibly in NFL cities, at one special restaurant in an NFL city, in ways that the NFL can engage with literacy. And you talk about fun, because the fun part is people are watching their TV and they've already told me, they said, man, I wanted the Saints to win so I can get my turkey leg and my new book. So,
and I'm smiling. The reason I have such a big grin on my face is our directors and content guys are smiling at me. I am probably one of the only Saints fans you will find up here in Western New York since I was a kid.
So you are a Saints fan.
And now I'm looking, I go, why do I live in Buffalo when I could live down there and get free turkey legs and books every week when the Saints win?
But let me tell you, it was so successful that I didn't realize it was going to be this successful. And this is the idea of fertilizer, right? Nothing happens overnight. We said, wow, let's just try this. So we tried it. But now, next year, we're going to contact the owner of the Saints, and we're going to say, Gail, would you like to underwrite this, right? And who knows? It might go to a bunch of cities. And that might be where Melba's Eat and Read Literacy is. Who knows?
And again, great story. And extending outside of the city of New Orleans, yeah, this could, a program like this could work anywhere.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about the Light Up for Literacy Award, and obviously you're a recipient of that. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it was like to receive such a prestigious honor?
Joshua, that award was, well, that is an award that I never in my wildest dreams thought I would even be in contention for, because inside of the business that I'm in, right, in retail my whole life. So in the grocery business my whole life, and also now in the restaurant business, I never thought that education and reading and literacy could mesh inside of retail, right? So for the Louisiana Endowment of the Humanities to recognize what we're doing is, like, in my view, a perfect public-private partnership working together. Private-public and educational partnership working together. And I think that is what is being told from the mountaintops in regard to them giving us this award, because it's never been done before. Right? Education usually stays in a little education bubble. Religious books usually stay at the Christian bookstores or the church bookstores. Authors usually stay at bookstores, right? Mm-hmm. So to have a restaurant mesh in all of this is quite unique. But for them to give us the award, it tells me we're on the right track,
mm-hmm.
right? So for them to recognize us, and it tells me, keep going, Jane. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. So, and also it's going to help hopefully with grants and foundations helping us with this project.
100%. I do want to ask you on a personal note, because we've talked a little bit about it earlier, about Harvard Divinity School. You went back at at a later age, and what was the genesis of that? Why did you decide to say, hey, you know what, I would like a degree from Harvard Divinity School?
I never thought, well, there's nobody in my family that has ever went to a quote unquote Ivy League school like that, right? That's all I guess, Joshua, what I can say about that is, as a woman, as a mother, a young mother, you just got to keep walking your walk in life, right? And it's the same thing about the fertilizer, how things come about. You just got to keep walking your walk, and doors will open. And it's really good if you can recognize when the doors open. And how it came about, I had my two kids out the house. They were in college. And I just sat around the dinner table one day and said, I think I might be getting too old to go to college, right? Because I only went to the 10th grade. I got a GED, and I was in business for all these years. And at 43 years old, I started thinking I missed the moment. And my son turned to me. I remember it's the first time that my child told me something that I knew was right and true. And he was teaching me. Hmm. And he said, Mom, you know, you're going to be 50 years old with a degree or not. It's up to you. And that's how I started. The next day, I went and signed up for a class. It was at Tulane University. I went through the School of Continuing Studies program. And I took a class, and I fell in love with the class. It was called American Government. And then the next month, next semester, I took two classes. Then I took three classes. Then I became a full-time student at Tulane. And lo and behold, at 47 years old, I had a professor that told me, Jane, because I started digging into religious studies and I started learning about the historical significance of religion. And I had a professor that believed in me. And He said, Jane, you can get into any graduate program you want. He said, you ought to go to divinity school. And I didn't even understand what divinity school was. Mm-hmm. And he said, you could probably get into Harvard Divinity School. And I was like, Harvard has a divinity school? And that's how it all happened. So I just kept walking, and I kept my ear to the ground, and I let my professors guide me. But I was old enough to understand when they say something to you, I could tell if it was really truthful, right? So, that's how it happened. And before I knew it, at 50 years old, I had exactly what my son said. I had a master's degree from Harvard Divinity School. And this whole literacy project came about because of the connections I made there.
Mm-hmm.
And people sharing their willingness to come down to talk to what I call everyday New Orleanians, like myself. So, it's all been a good walk, Joshua.
And there's all just, it's all inspiration. This is what's going to happen. We're going to allow it to happen. And now you get to sit back and watch it just continue to bloom, both in personal life and in business.
Well, I'm not sitting back, but there's no sitting back, Joshua.
Well, this has been great. So where can we find more information about Melba's and the Eat and Read program at Melba's?
Okay, you can go to Melba's, just Google Melba's Literacy, and you can go to Melba's Literacy. Just if you just Google Melba's Literacy, it'll go to the page, and then you go to the Melba's Literacy page, and then you press the Literacy Press page, and it'll show all the press that's come about as we've been doing this. And I tell you one thing that's been beautiful about the press is that when I was in the grocery business for 35 years, we always had to push, advertise in a way that was aggressive, get people in. What's been great about this is that I'm at an age now where I'm not pushing, I'm just walking. And people are recognizing it, so I don't have to advertise it. It almost, they come into us, because they see the uniqueness of it. So that's been really nice in the advertising element. So all those things that are on the press page, people came to us, which is good.
Well, I will say this. Now when I can say who dat, I don't just talk about the Saints. I can talk about Jane Wolfe at Melba's. It has been awesome. Thank you so much for being with me here today.
All right, Josh. It's nice talking to you guys.
Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Take care. And that'll wrap it up here for this episode of The Reading Revolution. If you have a suggestion for a guest or someone that you would like to hear featured on The Reading Revolution, email readingrevolutionpod@gmail.com. If you have any other concerns or comments, we'd love to hear from you as well. Please like, share, and subscribe to this channel, and find us on social media at bookvending.com. We'd love to hear from you in any manner. Find us online. Everyone, thanks again for joining us. We will see you next time here on The Reading Revolution.